Today on Real Radio.
And it's a mark of civility. But when a society begins to redefine words, and that society is what you and I are living in now, they begin to attribute different definitions to old words that have always been.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. You know, there's a favorite word these days that's quite commonly used in social settings and in the media quite a bit. We're talking about the word tolerance. But did you know that the word tolerance fits in the category of those words that are being redefined? Now, as Pastor Jack's been pointing out, a lot of folks who think they are tolerant actually misunderstand its true definition and end up being intolerant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
But tonight we pick up to where we left off last time, and that is the deception of a call to tolerance. And I need to explain that because if you're not familiar with this study and this title, you may be already very persuaded and very convinced that this word tolerance is a very, very good word. If you're listening to the media broadcast and the publications that you get, any newsstand around town and all, this word tolerance is a word that is used and I think exploited greatly. As we saw last time together, and I'll restate it again, that is the true definition of the word tolerance is a very, very wonderful definition. It's one that is, though, rejected today. In the Noah Webster's 1828 edition of the Dictionary of the American English Language, Noah Webster defines tolerance as the ability to endure with another one's mindset or understanding. Notice, we're to endure with the mindset or understanding of another. That's tolerance. He says it's to the extent, or to extend toleration to an opposing view that you might hold, or grace toward an opponent. It is to suffer or to endure with someone else's belief while not agreeing with it. That is the definition of the word tolerance or tolerant. It is a virtue that you or I extend towards someone else whom we disagree with. We allow their view to be stated, we allow it to be presented, and we endure it. It doesn't mean we whine about it, it doesn't mean we picket, it doesn't mean we protest. The word tolerant, which again is a virtue, the old King James Bible calls it long-suffering, that we just live life being tolerant of one another in the true definition of the word. Now that is great. For example, I'm insane, I'm hyper, and to someone who's mellow and very orderly, God is going to require of you to tolerate me because you love me and I love you. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and it has to be that way. You see, we differ one from another. We're different people. And in the body of Jesus Christ, let alone the world that is around us, we are expected, it is incumbent upon us as fellow humans to extend tolerance to one another. This is civil, and it's a mark of civility. But when a society begins to redefine words, and that society is what you and I are living in now, they begin to attribute different definitions to old words that have always been, then we're living in a very dangerous day, because now it's open to anybody's interpretation, and what somebody says and what somebody believes, those two things about the same word may never come to agreement. Yet we have a dictionary, we have standards, we have manuals that we might all be on the same path. Can you imagine going to Stuttgart, which some of you will be going to pretty soon? You know, you go to Stuttgart in a month or two, and you're going to go there, and they make Mercedes-Benz there. There's Mercedes-Benz of all shapes, colors, and sizes all over that city. That's where they're born. And can you imagine walking into that Mercedes plant and saying, gosh, I'll take one of those fenders, one of those headlights, one of those taillights, and that roof, and I want to put it on these wheels. They would throw you out because they are dedicated to very specific engineering detail. And without it, you're going to have an absolute mess. And you and I are living at a time when the world, the secular society that's out there, is infiltrating the hearts and minds of people to redefine words. Now look, we know that this world is perishing. We know that this world is coming to its end. The tragedy is that this propaganda is seeping into the mind and into the heart of people who go to church, and has even taken the realm into the controls of churches, ministries, pastors, where churches now are liberal, churches now are not obeying the Word of God or interested in the Word of God because they've become very political. And you and I are living in a day which we need to be careful about deception along this very line. Now, I've got to tell you up front, last time together and the same topic right now, there is a tendency for this message to sound somewhat political, and I don't intend that to be whatsoever. It ought to be, though, an indicator that's telling you how the word tolerance or tolerant has seeped into our political and sociological thinking. Are you with me on that? Very important. I believe that in this church, there are those people that are already tainted by this restructuring and redefining of words. So let's look to the text and we'll study it together as we dive into this. 1 John chapter 4, let's read verse 1 all the way through to verse 6 again. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Now remember, that doesn't sound very tolerant, does it? "But test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Personally, I believe that this current rush to tolerance is a dangerous direction to be heading in, and I believe that it has one clear goal in mind, and that is to neutralize and sterilize the church of God in the earth today, because it is certainly infiltrated. I believe in three very key ways. Number one, there's a spirit. I don't know if there's anybody on earth who can say, "Hey, I know exactly what I'm doing with this, and I'm a political ruler or person reigning in power, and I'm moving to undermine the church." I don't think anybody would say that or anybody's thinking that. But I believe that there are spirit realms, as John is talking about, that have this number one thing in mind: dilute the church from her strength. If you can dilute the church from her strength, she becomes weak. And if you start to infiltrate the church with this new definition of tolerance, you're going to weaken the strength of the church. I'll explain that in a moment. The next thing is to morph the church, to morph the church into society. Make it so much like the world that we no longer have a pastor, we have the CEO. We don't have ministers anymore who are servants of yours and to you. We have the ruling or reigning board, you know. The church now has a prepackaged message, not open to the Holy Spirit. Don't want to do that. Somebody could get convicted and mistake their conviction for offense or something. You know, they might leave. So we're going to have a prepackaged message, one that we can kind of get off the internet, that our little denomination agrees to, and the pastors and the CEOs happen to deliver that on the very same week altogether across the U.S. This is happening. Get the church to be so much like the world that the world won't know if they're walking into a church or they're walking into Kmart. Because the church has been morphed into the society. It no longer stands out from society. It is no longer a clarion or a harbinger that it says, "Come unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." No. It looks just like the world in every way, shape, or form. This is wrong. And yet, as I go through this, and if you were here last time together in our study, this tolerance that's being cried about and forced upon the body is going to achieve these very things. And I say that in the present tense, I believe it's happening. Churches have got to stand up against this. The third thing is to remove to dilute, to morph, to remove the church from its uniqueness. This is very, very dangerous. So last time on our study, we looked at verse 6, and it was this, that we are of God. That's very, very exclusive, isn't it? Are you of God? Are you of God tonight? You need to know that. He who knows God hears us, John is saying. Here's the word of God. He who does not or is not of God does not hear us. And he said, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we touched on this last time, that the Christian has been deployed into a very hostile world. It has been said in Scripture that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and that word ambassador means one who is sent via delegation out into a hostile country to represent their kingdom, into a hostile country, a hostile nation. Tonight it would be, and I don't even know if we have representatives in Iraq or Iran, I don't know if we can even have them, but let's say that we do, maybe we do. That's the word. To be an ambassador would be an ambassador for the United States in Baghdad. You would be an ambassador in the land of a hostile enemy. That's what the Christian is. We have been deployed into a hostile world. Well, how is that world going to manifest itself against us? All kinds of ways. Bottles, sticks, rocks, guns, mayhem, sometimes words. Sometimes words. And sometimes those words can come via speakers and all, that the word begins to be strung or meshed among the truth to deceive people, the falsehood among truth. We have to be careful about that. And remember last time we talked about Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 3, where Jesus says, I send you out, that is out into the world, as lambs among wolves. What kind of a deal is that? Well, thank God the Holy Spirit dwells within us, as we read in 1 John 4, 4. So the Christian tonight, the Bible-believing Christian, which isn't it sad I just said Bible-believing Christian? The first thing that came to my mind was Waco, just now, Waco. Bible-believing, these were Bible-believing Christians at Waco. How do you like that? Do you like that? Do you appreciate that? Bible-believing, they got the media's got Bible-believing Christians out to be a bunch of lunatics. Today a man was found reading his Bible, you know. But the Christian worldview, how you view the world through your Bible, is diametrically opposed to the secular worldview that's out there. And the secular worldview is, in all of its vision and action, absolutely hypocritical. It really is. If that offends you, then hang on a second. It's absolutely hypocritical and intellectually dishonest in its belief system, because the world system outside of these walls says, listen, we need to have a world of tolerance. This cry for tolerance is global. It's everywhere. We need to be tolerant. That sounds great. And we should be if we apply the real definition. But watch this. We need to be tolerant. Yes, yes, amen. Are you a Christian? Yes. You are not allowed to open your mouth. Why? Because do you believe in the Bible? Yes. Ah, do you believe that there's only one way to heaven? Yeah. You are not allowed to express that view. Listen, this is what the United States Senate is going to be confronted with in the fall. Because there are some congressmen, there are some senators that have gotten together, and they've picked up this march against the Southern Baptist Convention. Because the Southern Baptists wanted to go up to Chicago in evangelistic outreach. Now, this ought to get your attention, especially in this church. Can you imagine packing up your musical equipment and your Bibles and stuff and getting a team together and going to Stuttgart, Germany? Of course you can. We do it. What about Russia? Yes. What about Moscow? Yes, we've done that. What about England? Of course. What about Mexico? Sure. Chicago? Now, there is possibly, according to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, they have issued notice, not they haven't placed them on notice, they just told the Southern Baptist Convention, because you guys wanted to go to Chicago and do evangelistic outreaches, that very movement of yours to do that could be viewed as provoking hate crime activity. This is in the news now, and it's going to come up again this fall. If you share Jesus with somebody because you love them and want them to have the good news of Christ and to know, give them the hope of their sins being forgiven, did you know that you're imposing upon them a hateful view? Did you know that you're doing them harm? Why don't you just pat them on the back and let them go straight down to hell? That's what the devil would love to have you do. See what he's doing? He's using words. He's using politics to quench the truth. And the government is going to be stepping in very, very soon to dictate what issues forth from this pulpit. Don't say I'm blowing it out of proportion, because right now it's happening on Christian radio, and there's lawsuits going on at the Supreme Court regarding Christian radio, because there are ministers that have spoken things that haven't set well with everybody. But what if you stand up for something that is biblical? I tell you, it's going to come down on your head. Now look, I want to make this loud and clear so you're not getting a lopsided picture here. I believe that if somebody wants to practice, do, believe, whatever they want, they have that absolute freedom. I'm going to respect their decision. Will I agree with them? No, I don't have to agree with them. This is the word tolerance. I don't agree with them. But can they exist? Of course. Can we eat, you know, together at Taco Bell? Of course we can. Can we even be friends? Sure. But you see, if we're crying out, be tolerant, in the world's definition, did you know that everybody gets to express their view and they've all got to get along with one another until you mention Jesus? And you mention Jesus, and now you are a right-wing lunatic. You bow your head in prayer at lunch, and you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, and people are looking at you crazy. What is this? Where are we going in this age of the cry for tolerance? I'd like to read to you what the mayor of this city read this publicly before those in attendance at the National Day of Prayer. This is taken from a student in Arizona, and this is what that student put down on paper. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That is no offense. It is a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayer spoken out loud or a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We are allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They have outlawed guns, but first the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy our senior king. It is inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We are taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It is scary here, I must confess, when chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. Amen. Isn't that something? I praise the Lord for the mayor reading that publicly. But that is the spirit of what we're talking about. Now, again, the world can believe whatever it wants, but the moment that the world that cries out intolerance and for tolerance says, now the church will do this and not do the other, it is a very, very dangerous time. And I trust that on this Wednesday night service, don't tell Sunday I said this, but Wednesday night people, you guys are reading your Bible, you're in tune, you know what's happening. You know, Sunday people, it's kind of, you're never quite sure. You know, this is the church that's gathered here tonight, you know. You see this stuff happening around, and it certainly alarms us. We're going to be looking at a few things, and by way of remembrance, I'd like to draw to your attention to what we looked at before, and that is this, that we saw last time that tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. It really does. It denies the truth of absolutes. We'll touch on that in a moment. Tolerance demands acceptance by all. Tolerance just demands. This is the modern day definition. It demands acceptance by everybody. You can't question it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John tells the reader, do not be deceived. And in this day and age, That means not falling prey to political correctness and redefining the word tolerance. It's all part of a mini-series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of lessons taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment where I get to pull Pastor Jack into the studio and throw questions at him sent in by Real Radio listeners just like you. Now, by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it in. Send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, Pastor Jack, this question comes from Steve, and Steve says, is the concept of shame a biblical concept? Today we talk a lot about self-esteem, but we don't talk a lot about shame. I heard you say, this comes from Steve, I heard you say that you're not sure if America can any longer suffer shame of face. Steve wants to know, what is shame of face?
Yeah, shame of face. First of all, it is a biblical concept.
Okay.
God rebukes Israel for no longer being shamed by her waywardness and by her idolatry and by her rebellion. In fact, listen, many times in Scripture, the word callous or hard-hearted or brazen will appear. Why? What is that all about? It's our reaction, or I should say non-reaction, to wrong. We have lost the ability to see that something is wrong. We even justify it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll even say that it's okay. In fact, the Bible warns us in the last days, people would come around saying, good is evil and evil is good. Where does that come from? That comes from the inability to be shamed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a biblical concept. But listen, sin is the foundation. It's the root to us being shamed or ashamed when we've crossed the line. That, by the way, leads to guilt.
Okay.
Guilt, listen, guilt is a very, very painful thing. It's a beautiful thing when dealt with rightly. There's a good example in Daniel chapter 9. Somebody wants to take the time in verses 6 through 8. Daniel's confessing not only his sins, but the sins of his nation, Israel, to God. And Daniel there says that we are shame of face. He uses the term, we are red of face. We are the ones owning. He says, to us belong shame of face.
I get it. Yeah, okay.
We've sinned against you, God. We are in a bad place.
Yeah.
And it's exhibited by shame. Shame's a really, actually, it's a very great thing if we deal with it right.
Okay.
If a child, for example, is taught to avoid and justify and run from guilt, you are actually in the process of raising a little criminal. I mean, that kid is going to grow up just justifying all the wrong that they do, blame it on other people, why they were taught to never deal with guilt.
Right.
Why should they be taught to deal with guilt? Unchecked guilt is the result of us not dealing with shame. When it arises, we turn red in the face.
Right.
Our heart rate goes up. We ask Junior, did you just take those cookies off the counter? And he says no, and he's got crumbs all over his face. He's busted. Even though he says no, because his heart is still sensitive, his face will turn red, and his eyes will wander off of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He's ashamed.
Shame.
He's now going from shame toward guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you get both these things to happen? The understanding of sin. Sin is what births these things. And our culture today says, there's no such thing as sin. If it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do is fine for you, which is funny. That's humanism.
Yeah.
That's an interesting self-preservation move, but the Bible says it leads to death. No, sin produces shame. Shame produces guilt. The issue is you want to become guilt-free. You want to become free of shame. Why? Because you confess your sin.
Good stuff, Pastor Jack. Thanks. Now, don't forget that if you want to ask Pastor Jack a question, email that question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.